Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Peninsula Energy Lance Production and Life of Mine Update Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a brief presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Wayne Heili, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to join this call. 6 weeks ago, Peninsula announced some disappointing news, which resulted in a delay in our planned restart of production at our flagship Lance project. We appreciate that this was unwelcome news and that it came as a shock. However, what we did then was present a pathway forward that involved the acceleration of our own in-house development of resin processing and yellow cake production, something we'd always intended to do in our future stage two development. As we indicated back then, this pivot in the company's strategy required a full evaluation of the additional capital required and the extra time needed to achieve our reconsidered objectives. We undertook to have that evaluation to you by the end of August, and that's the purpose of our call today. I'm pleased to report that based on the work over the past month and a half, we now anticipate production to commence at Lance in late calendar year 2024. And as a fully independent end-to-end producer from the production launch and onward, we will be mitigating further third-party processing costs and risks by producing a finished dry yellow cake product at Lance. Through our work, we've developed a new life of mine model based on detailed mining, metallurgical, and scheduling factors. Our base assumption is the construction and availability of a complete 5,000 gallon a minute uranium in-situ recovery plant capable of producing up to 2 million pounds per year of dry yellow cake product. We now anticipate production commencing in December of 2024 with a projected production level of approximately 1.1 million pounds in calendar year 2025 and a ramp up between 1.6 and 1.8 million pounds per year by 2029. This is a faster ramp up to substantial rates than our original plans. Significantly, our forecast shows us reaching sustainable monthly positive cash flows by approximately September of 2025. That's a short time frame from the start of production to that, and it's a testament to the robustness of the production opportunity at Lance. In terms of capital expenditures, or CapEx, we've broken this into two parts. First, the remaining planned CapEx before reaching first production is estimated at about $53.4 million U.S. Second, the additional capital requirements to ramp up to our full production flow rate and achieve at about the same time positive cash flow is another $17.4 million. For estimated operating costs, we've updated the 2022 definitive feasibility study numbers to reflect changes in costs in the period between the preparation of the DFS and this life of mine plan update. Last year was characterized as a high inflationary period, and we've captured that in our revised OPEX numbers. And they naturally reflect an inflationary price environment over the last year and are slightly higher. We have landed at a C1 direct operating cost of $21.69 a pound and a total operating cost, including restoration and reclamation, or project rehabilitation, if you will, of approximately $23.49 per pound. All-in sustaining costs are estimated at $42.46 per pound. That's operating costs, and capital costs. The all-in sustaining cost is a reflection of the operation during a period of sustainable investments and sustainable production rates. For our model, that was determined to be from 2026 through 2033. So with an operating mine life of 10 years, producing 14.8 million pounds, the project yields a net present value of $116 million and an IRR of 26%. These are robust metrics and confirm the project as world cost. In terms of funding, we currently have a cash balance of $21.5 million U.S. dollars and anticipate uranium sales to net us $26 million through the pre-production and ramp-up period. We've identified a net additional funding requirement, that is $95 million, prior to the project achieving sustainable positive cash flows. This figure, we recognize, exceeds the funding need previously identified in the August 2022 DFS. In short, the main difference comes out of the lost potential revenue that we would have received while operating under the previous toll milling scenario, which is not fully offset by the net lower operating costs in the same time frame. It's important to note that the additional funding is not required as a lump sum. It'll be needed progressively over a two-year period, and we're confident that we'll be able to source this additional funding through a combination of sales, equity, and debt instruments. I'd also like to remind investors that the life of mine model is only accounted for the resource areas within Ross and Kendrick, like the DFS in 2022. It did not factor in the growth upside from our Barber area, which already boasts a 31.9 million pound resource base. This highlights compelling opportunities for significant further growth at Lance, especially when you consider that with Kendrick and Ross carrying all the central processing plant costs, Barber could be a considerably lower capital expansion option for us in the future. The entire Peninsula team has done a great job to deliver this plan over the past month and a half, and I personally am very pleased that we'll be back in production in a little over 12 months' time. We've always believed that we had a Tier 1 project, and the results today underpin that. We're back in the game, folks. A world-class project with a big resource base, strong economic numbers, and a team that makes a difference. They can make this happen. We have a unique competitive advantage in being the only ASX-listed U.S.-based company authorized to use the industry-leading low-pH ISR method. Furthermore, and what excites me and the team, is that we're bringing Lance online at an opportune time, as the outlook for the uranium markets remains very positive due to the critical role nuclear energy will and has to play in ensuring global decarbonization targets are met. Thanks again for your dedicated support to Peninsula as shareholders, and I'd like to open this up now for questions from the conference line.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Andrew Hines from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Wayne, and thanks for the update. Yeah, well done getting that out before the end of August. It's obviously been a lot of work in the last 6 weeks getting to this point. Look, quick question on your production profile. So you're building a facility with the potential to get up to 2 million pounds of output, but when I look at the production profile you've released there in Figure 2, a couple of features of that stand out. One is that there's a step back down in production rates in 2028 in that ramp-up process, and then you cap out at 1.8 million pounds in 29 rather than getting to the 2. Just talk us a little bit through the profile there and what's the thought process behind that, and also maybe a bit of detail as well on, I presume you're going to mine unit 3 as a start-up here rather than mine unit 1. What happens with all the well development at mine unit 1 in the early days?
Right. First, with the production rate of 1.8 million pounds, which is really where we kind of pegged the peak during this study, in comparison to a plant facility with 2 million pounds per year, there are ebbs and flows in production rates, and you need a plant facility that can outperform your average. There's no way for us to outperform if we're only expected to perform at the peak capacity of the plant throughout the life. So, secondly, with respect to kind of landing at 1.8 million pounds per year, we did a very detailed study on this life of mine evaluation. As we progress the wellfield development of Mine Unit 3 during the first half of this calendar year, it became more apparent to us that a number of support services, and particularly drilling contractors, that we require to get by are not as abundant today as they were in years gone by. It's going to take some time for the U.S. industry to rebuild this capacity, this drilling capacity, and other key areas. So in recognition of some of these constraints, our detailed model has limited the pace of wellfield development, and that's resulting in future flow rates, production rates, and a ramp-up profile that has constraints due to the number and availability of drill rigs. So we think it's a practical basis on which to prepare our baseline plan and still deliver a very attractive development plan for the shareholders to assess.
Thanks, Wayne. And going to Mine Unit 3?
So this plan has us moving and starting with Mine Unit 3. Because we've been doing development work in Mine Unit 3 and we expect it to be available to us at the time that the plant construction is completed, we will start with header houses in Mine Unit 3. That'll be supplemented with header houses in Mine Units 1 and 2. The Mine Unit 1 and 2 header houses are secondary mining efforts. We have previously mined them, and we'd be recovering additional uranium from them. They'll perform well, as demonstrated in our field tests. But we're excited about the prospect of ramping up with fresh ore in Mine Unit 3. That's really one of the key drivers, the wellfield development that we can get accomplished between now and the start of production at the end of 2024. It's one of the drivers that will help us ramp up more aggressively and to make this production profile work for us. It's a better production profile, but it's driven by the work that we've done to date and the work that we'll continue to do into the end of 2024.
Thanks. Just a follow-up, Wayne. So what happens with the, you've obviously had fluid flowing through the Mine Unit 1 areas in anticipation of starting up production 6 weeks ago. Obviously that's all been shut in now. What happens underground with all that resource circulating? Do you pull that acid back out of the ground and store it, or do you just leave it there and keep it in sort of care and maintenance until you're ready to go with Mine Unit 1?
Yeah. Actually, we're continuing to operate those areas. We're continuing to maintain and add supplementary amounts of additional sulfuric acid, and that's all part of the budgeted plan that carrying us forward from now to the commencement of production at the end of 2024. So, part of the expenditures that we're anticipating is to maintain the areas that we've already acidified, keep them in good health by continuing to operate them. And that means we have operators doing their jobs in both the plant and in the well field on a daily basis. And we'll have, our highly skilled and trained employees ready for production at greater rates when we start again. Back at the back end of 2024.
Yeah, great. Look, just the final one from me, and I'll pass over. The Barber resource is obviously a lot of upside there, which is still sitting in that inferred category. So I think investors would be interested to hear your thoughts around, how long do you think it'll take to get Barber to the level where you can perhaps think about bringing that into some sort of mine plan, and how easy would it be to expand what you're preparing to build here for the initial operations to expand that to take in Barber?
Well, Barber is a very exciting prospect for us. We have 31.9 million pounds of inferred resource over in Barber, and we love the opportunity to drill in Barber and to upgrade that resource to measured and indicated so that we can pull it into our economic evaluations properly. I've always said an inferred resource is not the right resource to do economic evaluations on. Now, the pace that we'll be able to work on Barber is going to be, again, predicated by the availability of drill rigs and the availability of funding for us. We have budgeted nominal drilling programs in both Kendrick, where there's still some inferred resources, and in Barber in the future. But it's not our top priority now, as we need to stay focused on the construction and preparation of the complete production facility at Ross.
That's great. Thanks, Ryan. I'll pass over to someone else. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from James Bullen from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Wayne. I'm just looking at the funding bridge and the $95 million that you do need incrementally. Just wondering, the US, obviously, large consumer of uranium, production's anemic, government wants to change that. Is there any access to some form of federal grants or concessional financing or anything like that that you can access to support the development of Lance?
Thanks, James. Over the last month, we've had some preliminary discussions on possible debt options, including debt sourced from the U.S. government. These are fresh ideas, but we have some solid leads on them. And now that we've completed the life of mine plan this week, we have this funding target in mind. So it's something that we can progress and step up these discussions over the course of the coming month or so. James, I think we can have some strong notions on the absolute reality of debt funding from U.S. government sources in the course of the coming month or so, and I'd like to be able to more clearly define that in the month of October.
Great, thank you. And you've also mentioned in here that the customers that you do have contracts with would exercise some flexibility for you. That typically requires a bit of horse trading, I would have thought, though. Will that result in any changes to your contracts or the contract pricing if they're going to extend that flexibility?
I don't think it would change pricing expectations materially in our contract book and or in the life of mine model. Bear in mind that the contracted portion of our life of mine production is about 34% of our overall production, and the amount impacted by the early deliveries is a small fraction of that. So it doesn't really hold the potential, even if we did some horse trading, to materially impact the economic outcome of this study that we're presenting here.
Do you have any financial liability here if you are not able to supply? Are you required to supply pounds? And if we do get a rally in the spot market or something like that, will you have to be out there purchasing to supply into those contracts?
Well, that's exactly what we expect to be able to mitigate that risk through open dialogue with our customers. And James, we've been very pleased with the response of our customers. They recognize that we're a company that's seriously in the business of putting a project back into production, but we've come across some obstacles that have slowed that ambition. Nevertheless, it's their wish for us to succeed and to become a successful producer, and it's not in their interests to financially penalize us for this current moment.
Okay, great. Thank you. And you talked about the tightness in the drilling rig market. That, to me, sort of says, inflation. How have you accounted for additional inflation in your latest OPEX numbers and sustaining capital numbers?
Yeah, it really falls in the capital numbers. And indeed, we've budgeted or allowed for increased costs of drilling, and had a substantial increase in our estimate of drilling costs from the 2022 DFS to this current life of mine model. Because yes, we are realizing higher price expectations from the drillers that are available, and we need to make sure that we have drill rigs working for this plan to succeed. So we have anticipated and budgeted for higher drilling costs clear out into the future.
Great. Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll now pause a moment to allow for any final questions to register. Thank you. Your next question comes from Steve McNamee from Norvest Projects. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Wayne.
Hi,
just a point here. One of the attractive attributes pre-July 19th to shareholders was the capital light nature of the startup and the fact that we could get a look-see at some pregnant resin going in for processing, and to that extent then see that you are able to produce economically viable resin from the host formation, and then of course go forward and finance on from that. Now we don't have that look-see anymore, and to some extent the risk has gone up and we're spending all this money, but we're not sure that the resin that will be produced is economically viable. So that's one question that I'm asking, and then part two to that question is, notwithstanding all the soothing, smoothing words that you've come through with, Wayne, the share price speaks volumes, and it's an unmitigated disaster for shareholders of owners of Penn. I'd like to just ask the question of exactly who is in charge of risk management, particularly the strengths and weaknesses of the company as we moved into this project ramp-up, because this has been a very very serious development, and as I said, the share price speaks volumes. Thank you.
Right, Steve. Well, to your first point, can we produce a dry yellow cake from our loaded resins? I have a definitive yes on that. We've already conducted field demonstrations with the low pH operations at the facility, and loaded resins and run them through the processes at UEC at the time and generated yellow cake product. So, it is a fundamental part of our business, being able to conduct the back end processes of resin treatment, uranium precipitation, filtration, and drying. That fundamental part of our business is something that our team has done We have built and operated other successful facilities in the United States and around the world, and I'm very confident in the team's capabilities with respect to being able to put together a complete back-end central processing plant at Lance that will generate economically, according to our model, the uranium yellowcake product. I think that's a lower risk, perhaps, than what some people see. Your second question was, you know, who's in charge of risk management? And, you know, the company maintains a risk management register. And I recognize, you know, we have always recognized the possibility in that register that UEC could not meet our production requirements fully. And because of that, we always anticipated having the plan to build the back end of this of the processing plant. Now, you know, the events that arose, you know, that UEC determined that they would not continue to process resins at our site were not specifically identified on the register, but that risk register is reviewed by management and presented to you know, the board of directors, and we discuss the risk register in most every board meeting.
On the last part of the question, is it still open that you have some sort of communication with UEC that you could, could do a deal on buying? You've given the cost of building a back-end plant, but the possibility you could just look at buying the Irigaray processing facility outright from them?
Well, I don't think that facility is on the market, Steve. And I think if you follow UEC as a company, you'll see that, you know, they project to the market their intentions to utilize that facility for their own purposes. So, you know, I think in the long run, and now clearly, you know, in the near term, Peninsula will be better off mitigating risks by taking matters into its own hands and not relying on others for things that we can be doing ourselves.
All right, I'll leave it at that, Wayne, but it is rather massive step change very late in the picture when your shareholders are fully committed on a company development line that is just completely broken down. This is this is an unmitigated disaster for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Graham, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Wayne. Thanks, and good work by the team to get the plan out and the timeframe that you did. Just trying to get a sense of your level of confidence around the costs and timeframes that you've provided today.
Michael, thank you. It was a huge effort on the part of the Peninsula team to get this study completed in a relatively short time frame. And I want to highlight to you that more than anything, probably this plan is not new. It's bringing forward plans that were in-house already to produce the final yellowcake product at our project. So in regards to the costs and the time frame, we really have a pretty high confidence level that we can accomplish the objectives in the time frames and within the scope of the costs that we've lined up, because we've had these plans on the back burner for a long time, and what we've done is just gone out and confirm our time frames and confirm some of the key costings. So it's important that, you know, we have this very capable team, experienced, proven professionals that I've just spoke about in the last question. You know, these people understand what it takes to build and operate uranium production operations in the United States. We've worked on a lot of projects around the U.S., and we've worked at Lance for a long time now. So you know, working with this team is very motivated and driven to create a successful and globally significant operation. It gives me the confidence that I need that we will ultimately succeed in this ambition and will shine as a global uranium producer once we get up and running again.
Great. Thanks, Wayne, and good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.